You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It is In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hour three. 3 hours of In This League goodness. That is right. The people have spoken. I mean, somebody spoke and somebody listened, I guess. And they want 3 hours, so we're going to give you 3 hours. And I'll tell you, it's been a great 2 hours. So we got high expectations for this hour. Hour one, if you missed any of it, Vlad Sedler from Guru Elite on Twitter, at Roto Gut. He joined us for 2 segments where we talked about high-stakes fantasy baseball. I definitely suggest you go listen to it on demand. We also, we might have broke a record. We were able to talk about how horrible we look for an entire segment, and I think we kept it semi-interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I hope everyone listening agrees with that, that it was semi-interesting. But, yeah, we're fat and ugly.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's all the things that we figured out. I figured out we're fat and ugly. Thank you very much about that. But Vlad in hour one, hour two, we talked a lot of fantasy baseball stuff as well as our player debates. So go listen on demand, fantasysportsnetwork.com/radio. You can catch it on demand. Or just search In This League on iTunes. You will find this show, which we do on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You will find all of our podcasts, which we are just dropping content out every week. Multiple baseball. We got basketball. Bogman's
dropping content.
Bogman's dropping the NFL Draft Prospect Podcast. I got the Baseball Prospect Podcast. And we do secret comedy shows over at InThisLeague.com's ITL Army, which is technically Patreon.com/ITL Army. As the sergeant tier or above, we salute you, sergeants. You guys get our secret shows. You get rank lists. We've got our top 300. We got all that stuff. InThisLeague.com and Patreon.com/ITL Army. Everyone go check it out. So as we left you in the last hour, we gave you our second debate that we put out there. And it was Vlad Sedler's boy, Carlos Carrasco, versus no longer pretty boy, Jacob DeGrom. Why did Jacob DeGrom cut that hair?
Because he's copying me, and I started it.
Did he? You know what? I want someone to ask him, did he donate the hair?
I bet he did. He had so much.
What if he didn't?
I bet he did.
Will you judge him? As a long hair person to long hair person, would you judge him?
No. I mean, not everybody. There's like rules to donating your hair and stuff. So like,
not everyone is as good of a person as you, is what you're going to say?
No, absolutely. Most people are much better than me. That's like the one nice thing I do. But there's rules that like a product that you can't put in your hair and things you can't do to your hair. And I don't know.
What do you mean product?
Well, like there are certain things that you cannot put in your hair to have it to donate it. Well, like you can't color it at all.
Oh, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, is that like a Mary moment? Like, is this hair gel? Like, can you not put in your hair?
No, I think they would appreciate it if you didn't put that in the hair, at least. But I'm supposed to make it shinier anyway. But there's just certain products and certain things. I don't have the whole list because I don't do much with my hair. I don't do crazy stuff. I don't color it. I don't, iron it. I don't,
wash it. Any
of that stuff. I do wash and condition it. That's what I do. So,
okay.
And it, like I said, it's already a fro. I'm already going through a massive amount of shampoo. Here we are 5 months later. So.
Well, I kind of thought simply because of the hair, there might be a little bit of hatred on Jacob DeGrom. Now he's a popular pick. Just in general circles, he had that kind of ERA run at a time. There's injury concerns overall with the Mets. Mets roster is, I don't know, it's something else. But when everything is clicking on all cylinders, Jacob DeGrom, he's an upper tier-ish guy. It's okay to start your rotation with DeGrom. It's not horrible. He's a better number two fantasy pitcher to have. But pitting Jacob DeGrom versus Carlos Carrasco, Vlad really pumped him earlier, and Carrasco has been just a total like Sporer and Collette guy. I know they talk about him a lot.
He's been a what if guy or if this guy hits guy
yeah.
for so long.
That's a good point. That's a good point. He's like the guy that that all the analysts like. And that, and when I hear that and I see that, I sometimes think the numbers get skewed because, you know, it's the Ozzie Albies effect. You know, every year there's a couple of the guys that are just, their value is just nutso because everyone has just jumped on the train when there's not necessarily a proven commodity. I'm not saying that's Carrasco.
Remember Greinke was this guy for a long time? Like, yeah. Hey, if this works, Danny Salazar
has been that guy. Up until this year, it's always been Danny Salazar.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and there's still people on the Danny Salazar train because, you know, they're saying that he's just a couple weeks behind. Don't know if I buy that. But
yeah, it's hard to buy any of that. But so pairing these two together, do you have their ADPs up? They're pretty close, aren't they?
I do, yeah. They're literally right next to each other. It's Jacob deGrom is 34.45 and Carlos Carrasco is 35.71.
Okay, so they're both next to each other.
They're so close.
Jacob deGrom, one spot higher, but people talking like Vlad talking about Carrasco, the voting. Bogman tweeted it out. More fantasy baseball debates for FNTSY Radio. Who would you rather have for 2018? Jacob deGrom, Carlos Carrasco. The votes are in. 74% for Jacob deGrom. Only 26% want Carlos Carrasco. And you think about like what Vlad said, and I'm a little surprised at this.
I'm very surprised that our guy Dave hasn't made more fake accounts just to go vote for Carlos Carrasco.
He is a homer. You are right about
such
that.
Such an Indians homer, of course. But this one surprises me because no matter where you look on ADPs, these guys are going basically next to each other.
Sure.
So why would DeGrom get the big push over Carlos Carrasco?
Well, ADP doesn't tell the whole story, even if they're going next to each other. But to your point,
But 2 months ago, I look on Fantrax, and because that's what I have on my stat sheet here, and Carrasco is going two picks ahead of DeGrom.
Let's do this.
So why the big change?
Pull up Jacob DeGrom's FanGraphs page.
I have it up.
Okay, you have it up?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do the number compare game. Carlos Carrasco wins 18 last year.
15.
Losses for Carrasco, and that was for DeGrom.
Yeah, 15 for DeGrom.
Okay. Losses for Carrasco, 6.
10 for DeGrom.
Okay, a little bit more losses there. Innings, 200 for Carrasco.
201.1 for DeGrom.
Okay, that's key here. K per 9, 10.17 for Carrasco.
10.68 for DeGrom.
They're pretty close. Walks, let's call it just an even 2. It's 2.07.
2.64 for DeGrom.
Okay.
So over 2.5.
Home run to fly ball ratio or home run per 9, it's essentially 1. It's 0.95.
Home run per 9, 1.25 for DeGrom.
Overall strikeouts for Carrasco was 226 over those 200 innings.
239 for
okay.
DeGrom.
Okay. So we see where DeGrom owns a couple, and there's other stats we could go look at, you know. Ground ball percentage, left on base percentage, stuff like that. Well, what was what BABIP did he pitch to?
305.
307 for Carrasco. Okay.
I mean,
wait,
they're
ERA,
basically
ERA.
The same guy from last season.
3.29 for Carrasco.
3.53. XFIP was 3.23 for DeGrom. I think it wasn't 3.24 for Carrasco.
XFIP was 3.24. These guys are almost the same player, yet 76% are taking the player, Jacob DeGrom, who's on a worse team. And
you'd
a worse offense.
You'd think it would be a better ballpark. You'd think it would be the health stuff for Carrasco. But, you know, DeGrom pitched 201 innings in 2017, but he pitched 148 in 2016. How many innings did Carrasco have in 2016?
He had 146.
148. How many innings in 2015 for Carrasco?
183.
191 for DeGrom.
These
are
the same
guy. Everyone's racist. That's what it is. They're all racist. DeGrom's a white guy. That's what it is. It has to be. No, I'm just kidding. But it has to be the long-term health effects from Carrasco, because we've seen Carrasco come forward and then slide back and come forward and slide back. But we also got DeGrom, it always surprises me that DeGrom is going to turn 30 in a couple months.
Oh, Carrasco is 30 years old already.
Yeah.
He's actually going to turn 31 in about a month.
So there's about a year difference on these guys, too. Yeah. I don't know why the landslide. Because like you said, Carrasco's on a better team. DeGrom is in, you know, a better pitcher's ballpark, you would say. And maybe this is just a NL pitcher. When you look at everything being the same, I do see one weird split for Carrasco.
Okay.
And it's not even a giant split, but it is a split that DeGrom doesn't have. 3.99 ERA at home for Carrasco, so almost 4, 2.65 away. That's the one weird split I see. And DeGrom has none of that. He's 3.34 at home, 3.70 away. First half, second half, basically nothing, but it's the same thing for Carrasco. That's all he has. He got a little bit better in the second half as far as ERA goes. But there's no weird, crazy splits. So this one is very strange that such a landslide for DeGrom. I can't pinpoint it.
And listen, I have DeGrom over Carrasco. So I'm a DeGrom guy. But the landslide of it, I mean, could this simply just be we're just seeing the basis of preference? It's not so like, yeah, it's just 100% DeGrom. It's just, yeah, like I'm taking DeGrom, but Carrasco's the night. Because we don't get context of people saying like, no way am I taking Carrasco. It's all DeGrom. They're just simply saying the guy that they would want. ADPs have proven that DeGrom is right there. I guess when you see guys so close, you expect to see. I mean, it's kind of like the debate we did before, though. Freeman had 51% at one time. You would just expect it to be closer than like 75% Jacob DeGrom over Carrasco when Carrasco is kind of a, you know, an analyst darling.
Let's go over some players that you can take a little bit later. How about that?
Yeah.
Just like we did with Jose Abreu when we kind of found out that Zach Greinke is going off around pick 47. Well, that's not NFBC. Let me look at NFBC. So we have, let's see, Severino's going ahead of both these guys, by the way, at 33.
I got a hard time with that one right now, to be honest with you.
I like Severino.
I like him, but just that's a high pick.
How about at 46, Zach Greinke is going. And Zach Greinke is a guy, so remember those numbers that we said before, 17-7 last year, 215 strikeouts, 45 walks, which is less than both those dudes, 3.2 ERA, 107 whip, so the whip is lower than I think both of them too, right? Carrasco was 110 and DeGrom was, 119. And they got the humidor going in.
I mean, he's going at a better price. I don't want it to. I mean, I've kind of made this known, like where DeGrom or Severino or Carrasco are going, I don't particularly like taking pitchers there. Like Noah Syndergaard is one I might reach for in the 30s. Otherwise, I'm going to take hitters. I'd ask you this. Would you rather have DeGrom, Carrasco, or Jose Abreu? Why don't you reach on Abreu and take Greinke the next round?
Yeah, I'd rather do that.
I would, too.
I'd much rather do that.
I would, too. I mean, you get less of the strikeout love, kind of, you know, but like you said, humidor, and we don't know the effects of, you know, maybe more ground balls, lower ERA from Greinke. Maybe we're going to get old school Greinke again.
Yeah, I mean, we could.
What are a couple other pitchers outside of Greinke?
A couple other guys. Let me look here because I just went to the overall, of course. Let me see. Robbie Ray is going right after Greinke at 44. Let's see here. Darvish is going at 49. Archer's going at 50.
I mean, there's
Carlos Martinez is going at 53.
Where's Verlander?
Verlander is...
He should be right near Greinke.
He's 39. He's one spot ahead of Jose Abreu.
Okay. I mean,
Justin Verlander was so good in Houston last year. If you look at his splits between Detroit and Houston, he just got ridiculous. I don't know if he zeroed in, if he focused in, if he just really, really, really wanted that World Series, but his ERA was like under 2 when he was in Houston. So I think people are buying on that type of an upside for Verlander, and I get it. So the rest of these guys are kind of like, you know, you expect to see more of the same, right? Maybe Robbie Ray gets a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, there's
kind of a steady Eddie.
There's a tier difference that changes, though. You know, when you go off of Greinke and you go to Archer and you go to Robbie Ray, like, not to say that we don't like these guys a lot, but there's definitely a change.
Yeah, there's definitely a tick down. So, but you would rather take a hitter and then go with the pitchers in that range, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, if we're building a team here, okay, think about this and everything we've talked about in the last couple segments. Altuve, Lindor, Sanchez, Abreu, Greinke. That's your first five.
Team.
I really like that team a lot. And then maybe I'll go one more pitcher if I want. Maybe I can sneak a Darvish in there or something like that. Or I'll go hitter and I'll take maybe a Carlos Martinez. I go there and then I'll go back to hitting and I'll just jump right back into hitting. And
let me ask you this:
it's crazy.
So we're looking at these pitchers here. Do you have your list up? Your 300 list.
I can pull it up pretty quickly.
So what I want to ask you is, I know you're not a fan of taking pitchers, and we saw
early,
you
early. I'm a fan of taking pitchers, early. And then I want to hoard them. But yeah,
right. So, but I mean, it felt like in the roto draft, because we've been doing all these 12 mans and we did a 15 man, you got caught a little bit, and your first pitcher was Keuchel, right?
Yeah, you are right about
so,
that.
So I want you to take a look at your list of starting pitchers and tell me who is the absolute bottom guy that you're okay with as your number one starter.
That is a really good question when I look at my ranks here. Because
for me, I can tell you mine just right off the bat is Yu Darvish.
And that's number 16 for you.
That for me, that's actually 14 for me. I did a little adjusting.
Oh,
but
okay.
Yeah, Yu Darvish, number 14 for me. So that is like the bottom of the barrel as far as a number one guy, because I like the upside. Because the rest of these guys I have after him either have done it for 1 year or a bit unproven or have some health stuff. I've got Robbie Ray. I've got, you know, Archer, Ohtani, Nola, guys like that.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you on the other side of this break. I'll tell you who exactly that guy is. How deep?
It's a tease.
Yeah. How deep am I willing to go? That's a big question, because the pitching, it gets questionable. Dallas Keuchel was my 19th overall pitcher. I was not happy about it, especially in Roto. So we'll talk about that and a whole lot more on the other side of this break. This is In This League. Scott Bogman, Chris Wells, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be back.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
It's In This League.
What is your name?
It is Scott Bogman.
What is your quest?
To seek In This League.
What is the airspeed velocity of a...
Chris Welsh.
What do you mean? An African or European?
Chris Welsh.
Huh? I don't know that.
Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual or recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single entry contests. Only, we like that, Fantasy Factor runs NHL and NBA free rolls every week. Free entry. Simply sign up and enter www.fantasyfactor.com. Do it. Welcome back. It's In This League. Scott Bogman. I almost forgot your name there. Scott Skaggle Bogman and Craig Ol Welsh. We
you
are
can
back.
Find, you can find me on Twitter at Austin Barnes Lover 29.
You do. So. Yeah, you would definitely have one of those. And Kevin Pillar 6969 XLXL.
It's just XXL.
If it was only XL, please.
Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to listen to our podcast. I don't know how many of you guys are listening to our podcast, but I think I said Austin Barnes' name on a show one time. And I think what I actually said about Austin Barnes was, I don't like that pick. I don't like Austin Barnes.
I feel like you might have liked him. I think you took him.
The Welsh. Okay. So even if I liked him, whatever. If I like the pick in a mock draft, the Welsh goes, there goes your guy, Austin Barnes. And I had to back up and be like, well, where did you get that from? Because I'm doing my catcher rankings. I don't even have him in there yet. So I don't know what you're talking about, why I love Austin Barnes. He also wrongly just gave me Kevin Pillar last year.
Definitely
because we talked about him in the pickups. I don't know why I was a Kevin Pillar fan, but then that became everything. I'm getting all kinds of photoshops from my guy Jag about how much he made an I Love You Man poster with me and Austin Barnes on it.
That was a good one. That was a pretty good one.
Yeah,
that was great. The tallest you've ever been, too.
It is, by far.
He put you on the tall guy.
Except for that time I was on stilts, yeah.
So, we were talking fantasy baseball, and Bogman asked me, what did you ask me on the break?
Your lowest number one starter. Who would be, when you look at your list, and you say, I'm comfortable going with this guy as a number one starting pitcher for my fantasy team, but I can't go any lower than this. Who is that guy?
This is tough because there's a couple, like, I feel like I know what the answer is, but then at the same time, like, I'm not comfortable. So, okay, so here it is. To your point, I think I have Darvish higher than you. Darvish, Verlander, Greinke, that range, I feel really good.
Okay.
That's a very comfortable range. Obviously, if Severino, Carrasco, or DeGrom fell, that's fantastic. But Greinke, Verlander, Darvish is a really good range. Carlos Martinez and Chris Archer are probably the borderline range. I'm wishy-washy.
If you're doing that, you got to take another one real quick, right?
Yes, exactly. Okay. And I'm wishy-washy if I want to say Robbie Ray. I don't know if I want to say Robbie Ray as a number one. Yet. So that's why I want to stick to Carlos Martinez and Archer. And to be frank, I'd like to be in a position where I take both. If I got Archer and Carlos Martinez, like on some type of a wheel, I would feel really good about that. Otherwise, I'm in the pool of taking, like, let's say it's Carlos Martinez, and then, I don't know, I might even dip in the Shohei Ohtani pool, or maybe it's Aaron Nola, or something of that sort. But, you know, to be honest with you, the Martinez and Archer stuff, the more that I think about it, like, that's an ideal situation, because there's a little pool of players I don't necessarily love to get into. I like to wait a little bit. Maybe I could wait a couple more rounds and then get like a Jose Quintana or something like that. And if I get out of the top 100 with, you know, two or three pitchers, I'd be comfortable with it. I just don't want it to be in my first four picks.
I get that, you know, because pitching, and you know, a lot of people, it's said over and over, but you know, it's a point that bears repeating, is pitching is different from year to year. It's finicky. It is much harder to predict, I would say, than hitting. In hitting, you know what guys hit for power and what guys you know, are speed guys and what guys are average guys, what guys aren't. It's kind of easier. From season to season, you know, a couple bad blow-up starts or one bad month for a pitcher can sink his entire season. So his numbers can look different coming in all over the place. So it's just harder to pick out pitchers than it is hitters. So I understand avoiding them early, because those are all good players. And if you're going for more short things with hitters, you kind of wind up with this back end. But you have to at least take a couple of them if you're going to wait a while. I agree with you, the Welsh.
What's like your, I know you said Darvish is your bottom, but like, you're much more likely to take some of these high pitching. What's your perfect scenario? Because I feel like when I look at this, I actually feel like it's a Kluber Darvish for you. Or,
yeah.
I mean, maybe a Sale, of course, but like a realistic, think about realistically where you're drafting.
I never get Sale.
That's why I'm saying realistically.
I would love to get Sale. I would love to
get Lamp.
Sale early in the second round, but he usually tends to go at the end of the first, and I've taken a hitter. So, yeah, I mean, Kluber dropping a little bit, I like. I like to go with one of those upper echelon starting pitchers in a lot of drafts because, okay, I have it, and now I don't have to worry about it for a while. Especially if I start out with like a top four pick, then I can go with a pitcher and then get another hitter really, really quick. You know, the difference isn't gigantic if I wait.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm down with you. All right, so player debates, 99 fantasy baseball player debates. Go get it on Amazon right now. I'm not going to stop until you go get it. So if you don't, just go get it.
And you're not getting it.
Yep. So I'll know when you've got it, and then I'll stop. So make sure you go get it. Amazon, just search Fantasy Baseball or 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. Also at InThisLeague.com, go get it today. It's lots of that stuff plus a whole bunch more, my friends. You had put together some spring training, not necessarily player debates, but some battles that we're looking at as we are in the heart of spring training. It's just starting up. Friday wasn't necessarily the best you know, cast and crew of hitters that you can get on each team, if you would say so. It's usually the B squad that's put out there. This weekend is where the good guys start getting out there. So why don't we set the table a little bit? What have you got for us as far as spring training battles?
Well, I got some battles here, but I mean, a couple of them are, how about like Mike Moustakas versus Ed Jobb? I would like to see that. How about Jake Arrieta versus getting a spot somewhere? Like, I would really like to see these guys wrap up this free agency stuff. We need that Dave Chappelle. Wrap it up, B.
Yeah, I was going to zip it up.
And zip it out. Bye-bye. But yeah, I mean, we need these guys to get into camp and get going and stuff like that. But a couple other ones that I had for you.
By the way, I just want to throw this out. I am surprised with the Mike Moustakas stuff.
Yeah, I don't know where he's going to wind up. Where would you say? What would you say you do here?
What would you say you do? I've always felt St. Louis was the spot, but it might just be back home. Apparently, he's got a bunch of one-year offers that are sitting on the table. They might be waiting for an injury to go down.
And I would do anything but go back to Kansas City with that terrible lineup on a one-year deal.
I agree. That's why I think a place like St. Louis would have been a good spot.
Yeah, I mean, there are just plenty of other. Maybe he should have taken whatever Todd Frazier got in New York. I would have rather done that than go back to Kansas City.
Yeah.
But, Jake Arrieta, you know, he's been talking to the Phillies and stuff. So we'll see what winds up happening there. But nothing as of the time we're doing this. So the first one I have here, and you kind of debated me already over the phone. And this is the first one I even told you.
Yeah.
Aledmys Diaz versus Solarte for starting second base in Toronto. And you were like, well, what the hell, Bogman? What about Devin Travis, who is also a factor in there? Like, if Devin Travis can stay on the field, of course. But when you go to Roster Resource, who is, you know, ahead of the game in this at all points, they've got Devin Travis slated to start in AAA. Now, obviously, that's what spring training is for. It's for the battle. But, you know, my point was, if the Blue Jays really like Devin Travis, why the hell did they go out and acquire Solarte and Aledmys Diaz this season?
I just didn't think. Well, first off, I also want to point out Roto World has Devin Travis as the starter. So I just want to point that out, that they have him as the starter.
They're not.
No, I know. I understand. They definitely have things that are missed out. I mean, Diaz to me was.
And Travis is healthy, by the way. Like, I looked him up. He's healthy. He's ready to go in spring. So there's nothing setting him back. He just has to go out and win the job.
Diaz, to me, has always been just their safety net to Troy Tulowitzki. Troy Tulowitzki is always hurt, and Diaz is going. I think they could platoon the two players, to be honest with you, and they can play around with some different stuff if they want, but I think he's there for that spot. Yes, he could play some second. Solarte is their super utility. Every team needs a super utility guy, and Solarte can play second, he can play short, he can play third, he can go to first, he can play left field. He is the ultimate Swiss knife, and I love the guy. You and I love the guy. We scream at him during spring training when we saw him with the Padres because we love him, and he's also a pretty good fantasy asset. I just don't think either one were brought in to be the starters. Now, it's not to say that there might not be a timeshare. But I do think Devin Travis is going to walk away outside of injury as the predominant second baseman for this job, and he's not on this list. But if I had to pick between Diaz and Solarte, I think Solarte has the bigger impact this year because I'd almost see him. I said this a million gajillion times over the last 2 years, but baseball seems to be slowly moving into this territory where it's like the running back by committee. They want to. Everyone wants to have one super utility player that essentially becomes an extra full-time player because they just replace one person in the lineup every day.
And Solarte is so great because Donaldson missed time last year, Tulo misses time whenever he plays, and Devin Travis can't stay healthy, and he can play any of those spots.
Yeah, exactly. So I like Solarte. I think Solarte, from a draftability standpoint, might be the most draftable of all the three players we've just talked about, but I do think Devin Travis is sneaky.
Yeah, he's sneaky, and it would not be surprising at all to see Devin Travis walk away with that job, but that's what spring training is for. So that is the first debate we had. Next, or position battle. Next one is Nick Williams versus Alan Altair in Philly in that spot. I would say Nick Williams comes into spring with the job because he's the future of this team, or he's one of the future pieces of this team. And he played well last season in his debut. So the rest of it is, you know, Hoskins is moving over to left because Carlos Santana is going to play first. They have Odubel Herrera in center. So it's really between Nick Williams and Aaron Altair in the outfield. So that's another one to watch. Do you have a favorite in that, or do you kind of agree with what I said?
I mean, it's funny because Altair was the one of the most contentious of our book, player debates that we put in. And, you know, the results ended up making us laugh about it, but
I predicted the future in the book, by the way.
Did you?
I did, because that debate was Altair versus Jackie Bradley Jr. And at the time, the Red Sox had not signed Nunez or J.D. Martinez. And I called it. I called it both. And I said, both these guys are going to go platoon now.
Everyone would have known that had they read it. If you want to see greatness, go get the book right now. I would say it's Nick Williams. I don't see, especially with like the progression of him, I don't see it in their best interest to put him on the bench predominantly. I would say now it could be close to a share, but I would bet 60 to 65% would go to Nick Williams. But out there definitely has the speed that is an advantage.
What's going to be the difference in batting average in spring training for Altair to come away with the job?
Well, I would say that I don't think it's about him. I think it's solely about Nick Williams.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if Nick Williams hits 200 and Aaron Altair hits with 345 in the spring or something, he has an incredible
I don't think it would change. I don't think it would change. No,
okay.
Because I don't think they're going to – I mean, unless they walk in and say this is an open competition, then it would. I think the job is Nick Williams regardless. Now, if Williams struggles, and then he struggles at the beginning of the season, they'll give more at-bats to Altair. But I assume this is Williams, but as you alluded to, he can get out of control with his average. And if that takes control, then AA is going to be in the game.
AA, Ron. This is the one that I think has the biggest fantasy impact, and I have it kind of close to the bottom. But how about David Dahl versus Tapia in spring training?
Tapia did show up 15 pounds heavier.
Wait a minute.
Best shape of his life.
He's in the best shape of his life?
Yeah. In fact.
Look at that. That is surprising to see. You mean a guy in spring training is in the best shape of his life?
Coaches were actually talking him up as being in the best shape of his life.
He hit a bomb in the game today, too. So, Tapia has been very, very good.
It's always been Tapia to me. It's always been Tapia.
And I was a big David Dahl guy when he got drafted, and I, you know, have him in a league where we keep minor leaguers for a long time, but it's Tapia. Like, David Dahl would have to play incredibly, and Tapia's weight would have to horribly affect his swing or something along those
lines. You
know,
another thing we alluded to earlier in the show is the Rockies are keeping tabs on Carlos Gonzalez. If you saw both of these guys struggle, David Dahl just being David Dahl and Tapia, you know, just not getting, not locking into the ball, they could look to bring Carlos Gonzalez back.
I'm going to burn through a couple of these other ones here. We got Michael Brantley versus opening day, which seems to be a common theme for Michael Brantley.
I'll go with Brantley on that one.
I think he's going to be closer than he was last year. I think it's maybe a weekend. And Matt Harvey versus the rotation, I think he has a better chance because Steven Matz is still working his way back and may not be able to start the season. But they still have Rafael Montero and Zach Wheeler.
Well, Matt Harvey's not going to not be in the rotation. I'll put money down on that.
Just, well, I mean,
unless he's injured.
I would say that, too. But he could be really bad in spring, and if Wheeler and Montero blow the doors off, I'm just going to say it's a possibility. I don't think it's going to happen either.
I think there's 0.0% chance whatever Matt Harvey does.
How the hell can you say that?
Because it doesn't matter what they're committed
to. His ERA was like 8 last year.
Doesn't matter.
How can you say there's 0% chance?
Because you know what they'll say? It's spring training. Matt Harvey, he's dedicated. Okay. They've already said he's dedicated to the game. He's back, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter what his results are. He will be a part of the rotation 100,000% unless he's injured. There's zero doubt in my mind. Now, will he hold it after the first month? I mean, maybe that's a whole different ball game. Zero doubt in my mind that he is in the rotation, though.
I just think they got a lot of options that they could go with if Harvey is terrible.
They do. They definitely do. I mean, they could have traded him, too. There were trade conversations going on around Harvey, and they decided not to because they said in the offseason, we are committed to Matt Harvey, just like Matt Harvey was committed.
Most marriages
overweight.
End up in divorce, the Welsh. Just going to point that out.
Don't make Matt Harvey cry again. All right. One more segment. We're coming back. It's In This League. We are going to talk some football and some draft football stuff. So don't go anywhere.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends? Listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back, my friends. Always how we end the last segment, little endless love. Shout out to Chris Pavona, super producer. In This League, Chris Welsh, Scott Bogman. We have pounded you over the head today with fantasy baseball conversation because it's worthwhile. So why don't we just make everyone's day and talk a little bit about football? Because you never get sick of football. Bogman, there is news as well. There's always some draft conversation, and people can check out the In This League Fantasy Football podcast, because when you do, it's a double dose of fantasy football fun. Not only do you get the ITL Fantasy Football podcast, which is on hiatus, but right now, the In This League NFL Draft War Room podcast is on that feed and is currently going on. It is hosted by Scott Bogman, and Bogman covers all of your NFL draft needs and prospects, their value for your fantasy teams. It is very, very cool. Great guests, great coverage. I would say the best in the biz.
And I just dropped an episode on my top five at the skill positions in the upcoming draft. So, but a lot of that can change with the combine. But before we get to the combine stuff, because I do want to talk about that, there is a little bit of NFL news, because the date to end franchise tagging is March 6th. So that is the last day a player can get franchise tagged. So there's a couple rumors in here. I mean, the first one was Jarvis Landry just already got tagged, which was a weird, weird move. Because,
yeah, they weren't messing around.
Because they have so much depth at wide receiver. They've got Landry, Parker, Stills, and Jakeem Grant. And they said they're committed to getting Jakeem Grant more involved in the offense this season. So it was a strange move, to say the least. But they said, or not the organization, but people have said within the organization, that the plan is tag and trade Jarvis Landry. So I don't know what a team would give up. What would you say if the Niners gave up a fourth round pick to get Jarvis Landry? Would you like that move?
All day, every day.
Yeah. So there's some teams that are desperate. Niners need a number one. I wouldn't say they're desperate for wideouts, but they do need a number one. They have a couple decent guys that could play two. They got Garcon and Goodwin. The Ravens really need a number one. The Bears are probably the most desperate team for wideouts in the NFL. So there's a lot of need for a number one wide receiver around the league. So I think it kind of makes more sense the more you think about it. So if they can get a late round pick and somebody can fill a desperate hole. Ooh, that's a big phrasing. Jesus, that's a big phrasing. But
yeah, I think, throw the desperate in there. That made it worse.
Sounds like I'm writing a 50 Shades of Grey novel over here.
I mean, you're like, yeah, someone's got to fill a desperate hole.
Phrasing.
Also, Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers didn't reach a deal by the agreed upon, whatever it was. You know, Bell wanted it to be done by February 20th. It wasn't done. Not as contentious as last season, but if they don't reach a deal by the 6th of March, he's going to get tagged. So,
and he said earlier in the season that he wasn't going to hold out for the whole season if he got tagged, I guess, was the conversation.
It just makes no sense for him to do that.
I mean, how uncomfortable are you about that then?
Not really, The Steelers are planning on trading Martavis Bryant for a draft pick. They've already had a bunch of teams reach out. That'll save some cap room. They're probably going to wind up cutting Mike Mitchell. That'll save some cap room. So they'll be able to make it work. But then, you know, the problem here is you don't have a lot of wiggle room as far as signing guys. So you have to make sure your draft picks hit. So because they're going to have to replace Mike Mitchell in the backfield. This one affects fantasy football for the reason of, you know, the Rams were going to, the plan was to franchise Sammy Watkins, but now they're thinking about franchising LaMarcus Joyner because he was so good when he moved to safety, and Sammy Watkins can be a free agent. They still have Robert Woods, who's very good last season, and Cooper Kupp. So that could happen. I can't even believe
they would consider tagging Sammy Watkins.
Well, they traded a pick for him. Pretty high pick.
What would that money be on tagging him?
I think it's $16 million.
Oh my God, for Sammy Watkins, get out of here.
Yeah, I mean the reason to tag him is to then work out a long term deal, and you can probably save some money up front. But I mean they're also, you know, they're going all in. They just traded for Marcus Peters too, so they're still debating. But I'm with you. Like, I wouldn't franchise Sammy Watkins at all. And you know, if he's a free agent, like I just mentioned, bunch of teams are desperate for a wide receiver. Allen Robinson is probably going to be franchised by the Jaguars. Case Keenum is probably going to get tagged. And
you think he's going to get tagged for sure?
Case Keenum?
It's a lot of money. I mean, I know they're because I've seen all the reports that Kirk Cousins is at the tippy top of the list for the Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've even read some rumors that Jacksonville's looking into Kirk Cousins too. So
Jesus.
There are some options for Kirk, but I don't know, man. Like, I think if you're the Vikings, you gotta franchise. I would not focus on franchising Keenum. I'd focus on signing him to a deal. Because I think if you franchise him, you're going to be paying Case Keenum way too much money. But
agreed.
I think the Vikings have a lot of cap space, so it shouldn't hurt them that much. But yeah, I mean, Cousins is going to have a lot of suitors. So now Jacksonville and Minnesota are getting into this mix with Denver and Arizona and the Jets. So he's going to get paid by somebody somewhere. It'd be really weird to see Jacksonville get him.
That's what I'm saying. That's just really odd. I mean, I know. You know, Bortles.
Well, Case Keenum got to the NFC Championship, so that's weird too. I mean, I know that. You know, I mean, who'd you rather have, just flat out, Keenum or Bortles? I would rather have Keenum.
I feel like maybe Keenum. Is the state of the quarterbacks in the NFL as bad as it feels? Is this the worst set of quarterback? I mean,
I think it's just more important for teams right now to have a decent backup quarterback than it ever has been.
But like, I mean, doesn't it feel like it's like we're weighted at the top with you got Brady and Breeze?
But
and
you say that
Rogers.
Nick Foles just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think that I think it is and it isn't. Like, as long as you have a great team around him. I mean, Blake Bortles in the Jaguars almost went to the Super Bowl. They were 10 minutes away. So, and Kirk Cousins is going to get offered a ton of money. He still has to decide where he's going to go. And Andrew Luck, the Welsh, has begun a throwing program.
I don't believe it until I see it.
But also, I am going to have an article on free agency up at patreon.com/ITL Army up on Monday, kind of breaking down team needs for fantasy football skill position players. So look out for that.
Hey, there you go.
As far as the combine goes, the Welsh, I feel like there are a couple guys that can improve their stock big. The number one overall guy to me that can improve his stock is Royce Freeman, the running back from Oregon, because he went from being a big-time recruit and player to having a knee injury. And then the film that I watched last year, he just did not have the same type of burst. So if he can prove that he can you know, put up a nice 40 time and look a lot better at the combine, you know, a couple more months removed away from his knee surgery, I think he can improve his draft stock a lot. And then pretty much every wide receiver, because there's a giant glob of wide receivers in this year's draft that everybody kind of likes. They like Auden Tate. They like Deion Kane. They like DJ Moore. They like Dante Pettis, James Washington.
Let me ask you something real quick before we add in James Washington. That's my guy. You know,
I know you love him. Yeah.
That's my guy this year. let me ask you a more pointed question about the wide receivers real quick. And it, this happens in our football GroupMe room, and I feel like there's a kind of a consensus here. There seems to be a lot of hate on the number one guy, Calvin Ridley, to the point, you know, yeah, maybe he's not atypical of like what we're usually looking for, but a lot of people are using Calvin Ridley as the number one as a starting point to say this wide receiver class is really not great. Is it a bad thing having Calvin Ridley as your number one? Can he be a serviceable fantasy wide receiver, or is he going to be just an overdraft, overhyped fantasy guy this year?
No, I like Calvin Ridley. He can run every route. He can separate and he can make 50-50 catches. He may not have that top end speed that guys from other classes have. So I think that's why, you know, Calvin Ridley is not like the guys that came out last season. I would say that he's probably comparable to Juju, and Juju went in the second round last season. So he's going to go high because we talked about all of the desperate holes, phrasing the Welsh, at wide receiver around the NFL.
Phrasing?
Because he's going to go high because teams need a wide receiver. But I don't think he's as bad as people make him out to be. And he is, I think he could definitely help you in PPR leagues because he can make a lot of catches. So I'm actually kind of excited about Ridley, but I would have put him probably fourth in last year's class. And we just didn't have a lot of production from the guys last year, which I think scares people. But Mike Williams had the back injury and Corey Davis was hurt for a big chunk of the season. So,
but does that glob of players that you started to rattle off, the Kirk, the James Washington, you know, do those make almost Ridley as like a Trojan horse for other teams? Like, yeah, you want Ridley to go because I want these other guys to fall. Like, is Ridley separated from that group so far? Or
Ridley's the most pro ready.
Okay.
I think he's the most ready to step in and contribute to a team right now. I would put Kirk up there. He's probably pretty high up there too. But a lot of these guys are, you know, Cortland Sutton went to a small school, so we have to see him against some better competition. James Washington had Marcel Aitman on the other side of him, so he got a lot of single coverage. And then you have guys like Equanimee St. Brown, who's one of my favorites, and Auden Tate, who had major, and Michael Gallup, major quarterback problems at the college level. So you don't really know what the high end of those players is because they were lacking in the quarterback department. So they're just kind of, you know, they're kind of like clay. And a lot of these guys are going to be molded at the combine. I think this is a more important combine for wide receivers than it has been in a while.
Okay, that's interesting. All right, what else we got?
You know, just big running backs can also make a difference for themselves. Like Kerryon Johnson has been known to run stiff. Yeah, Josh Adams is a big thumping bruiser for Notre Dame. He did have a lot of explosion, but I want to see more than the 40 time, because I think he'll put up a decent 40 time for a big man. I want to see those shuttle drills and those agility type of drills for a guy like Josh Adams. I think that he can improve his stock doing that. And Justin Jackson, you know, any big thumping type of running back who runs a big 40 or looks good in those shuttle drills. And then I think as far as quarterbacks go, I don't know how much these guys can actually improve their stock. I mean, what are these guys going to show you, especially since quarterback is the most scrutinized position in the NFL?
I don't know if it's about stock as it is a separation, because forgive me if I'm wrong on this, but is there a definitive separation on the quarterbacks right now that, like, yes, Josh Rosen is number one and Darnold is number two? Is no. that there? Yeah, because that's I think
no.
What
there's
the point
a clump
is.
Of five. The,
that's
it's
a problem.
Basically, Darnold, Rosen, Mayfield, Allen, and Jackson. And you know, where do you like these guys? I think the interviews are going to be a big part of it, because, you know, Sam Darnold already wants to be the mayor of Cleveland. Like, he's ready to go to Cleveland. But I think Cleveland likes Josh Rosen a little bit more, but he's already made the point, I don't want to play for Cleveland. A lot of people think Josh Allen has the highest upside. Like I've said before a million times, he's polarizing. People love or hate Josh Allen. There's basically no in-betweens. And there are the swings on Lamar Jackson are so high that some scouts say that he should be a wide receiver and not a quarterback, which I think is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my
life.
Was
it Napoleon that was saying that?
I don't know, but if he said it, if he said that, that's a dumbass thing to say. You got to at least give him a shot. He can make all the throws. So yeah, let him be a quarterback. He's so athletic. But people fear the RG3 factor because he's so skinny. Is he going to stand up in the NFL?
It's a whole thing.
And Baker looks so much better than he did a month ago. Like, Baker Mayfield looks so much better than he did a month ago because people are less and less afraid of his off the field stuff and think that it's more a chip on his shoulder. And he was so great at the Senior Bowl, especially when his mom was ill, that he's changed a lot of minds already.
Well, everyone can go and you can check out all of that if you're looking for NFL draft coverage, if you're looking for NFL draft prospect for fantasy coverage. Go to InThisLeague.com. You can check out the NFL Draft War Room podcast, which is a part of our In This League Fantasy Football podcast. It's just essentially two podcasts in one feed if you guys want to get that. Something we didn't mention before, but want you guys to know, did you know that it only takes 1 minute to potentially save someone's life? No, seriously, 1 minute. That's how long it takes to swab your cheeks and join the donor list with DKMS. There are currently over 900,000 registered donors in the U.S., and we need more. There is an American diagnosed every 3 minutes with blood cancer. There can never be enough donors. For only $45, you can help DKMS register new bone marrow donors. DKMS donors save approximately 19 lives a day. We want to help save one. We want you to help save one. So please, if you can, go to dkms.org/FNTSY today. Do that for sure. And go to fantasysportsnetwork.com/radio if you missed any of our wonderful show. You can catch it on demand. I highly suggest you do. We did good stuff today. We talked about how horrible we look. We talked with Vlad Sedler. We covered tons and tons of fantasy baseball. We got down with player debates, got down with our book, 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates, which you guys can get on Amazon. Please go do that right now or InThisLeague.com. And guess what? Bogman and I, we're going to go do some spring training. It's happening. We're in Arizona. We're going to step out our doors, go drink some beers, and we are going to watch some baseball. We got the A's and the White Sox on Monday, Bogman. Are you stoked?
I'm ready, man. I'm ready to go watch some ball. Let's do it.
Let's go do it. All right, this is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, InThisLeague.com. Chris Wells, Scott Bogman signing out. Peace.
Captain, we're under fire. I've got two incoming fogies, a draft sniper to my left. But this guy is firing off questions left and right. And I think he just tried to look at my list. I'm completely unprepared. To my right, we've got a website pre-ranked drafter. Might even be on automatic. This draft is a war room. What do I do?
Keep it together, soldier. You're in the ITL Army.
Sir, we've now got every pick is the best guy. He says lock this season up. I can't take much more.
Don't forget your training, soldier. You have more fantasy information at your disposal than the competition. Plus, Bogman and the Welsh at your side. Do it for your fantasy nation. And shut those jabronis up now.
Sir, yes, sir.
That's right, patreon.com/ITL Army or inthisleague.com to enlist in the ITL Army today. Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah!